as one who in my teens, I was saved as a boy, as a young boy, but then in my teens I made a decision to walk away. And it was my decision to rebel. And so I was under the chastening of the Lord for some time until I got back into my 20s, and I was like one of those sheep that had went astray. And by the grace of God, He came after me and brought me back into the fold. So I'm thankful for that. But in making that decision as a teen to, as it were, turn my back on the Lord, I endured a lot of trouble, of pain. I inflicted pain on others, including my parents. And so it was an awful time. And that's why it's an encouragement to me to see those of you that are here today not making that decision. So I want to encourage you to continue on in the things of the Lord. Now I want to assume that with We're Alive Teens, under the subject of my Bible and I, that in previous sessions you've been given different methods for reading through the Bible. I trust that each of you are doing that and have a system to read through the Bible. Not necessarily in a year, but whatever pace you're on. So we want to assume that now a quiet time that we're going to talk about this morning is not just limited to reading through the Word systematically. Now that is part of it, that we do read the Word, but that's only a small part really of our quiet time with the Lord. So let's open our Bibles up to Psalm number 143. The Psalms are really a tremendous example of quiet time alone with God. That's, from my personal experience, they're probably my most valuable tool, my what I call the quiet time tool chest. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But the Psalms are a tremendous tool for us in that time. Psalm number 143, and let's just read it through in its entirety. A Psalm of David. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Let's commit our time to the Lord once again. Father, we do thank thee for thy word, for the encouragement, the nourishment, the blessing that we receive from it. We just commend our time now unto thee as we look to some principles here in this psalm before us. And we do so in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As I like to share how I come to a passage that I'm going to speak from, it's not just a random thought where I just open the Word and, okay, I can divide this out and make things fit. I was at a men's conference in October, and in my morning meditation time that I spend much of in the Psalms, this Psalm was before me on the first day of the conference, and it just really spoke to me, and three things struck me as I, as it were, fed upon the Word. Three things stuck out to me in three verses. And we see that the first one in verse 6, I stretch forth my hands unto thee, my soul thirsteth after thee. as a thirsty land. We see there the requirement for nourishment. I listed there below, for those that like alliteration, stipulation for sustenance. And then we see in verse 8, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. We see the timing of and the plea for loving kindness, and then we could add to that desire to know the loving kindness of the Lord, knowledge of His will. And for our alliteration there, we see the season and solicitation for His sure mercies. And then finally in verse 10, we see, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. We see there an appeal for instruction or supplication for schooling. Now, as we think about our quiet time with the Lord, it's not just about reading the Word. I just want to draw a little distinction there. We do want to be methodically, systematically reading the Word of God. But our quiet time is different than study time. And our study time can be part of the quiet time. But what we want to think about is some time that we spend alone with the Lord, not necessarily looking to break down the Word of God and to rightly divide it necessarily, but just to meditate upon Him, spend some time alone with Him. So, that being said, we'll kind of go through these 3 points in verses 6, 8, and 10 that really stuck out to me as I meditated upon this. We start with the verse 6, the requirements for nourishment. And we see there, this is Psalm 143 for those who have just arrived. Psalm 143 and verse 6, I stretch forth my hand unto thee. That really paints a picture for us, doesn't it? Hands stretched forth to God in utter dependence upon Him. Utter dependence. And that's what this is. That it's an attitude, really, of what we see in the Lord, what we need from Him, our utter dependence upon Him. I thought we might just look through the Psalms. Incidentally, I had a little problem with my outline. I'm not real good on the computer, but just as kind of a side note, the Psalms there, number 2 point in the outline, all the way down on this page, should really be subset under that number 1. It's not a big issue, but it should be subset there. But let's just look through a few of the Psalms. You see the hands stretched forth, or hands raised unto the Lord many times throughout the Scriptures, particularly in the Psalms. Turn back to Psalm 28. Let's see a few pictures here. You hear me say this several times because I love reading through and meditating upon the Psalms. You'll hear me say several times, this is one of my favorite Psalms. It's hard to have a favorite. They're all favorites, but and I truly, honestly mean it. This is one of my favorite Psalms. Psalm 28. Let's begin at verse 1. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hand toward thy holy oracle. Lift up my hand toward thy holy oracle. I thought it was an interesting word choice there that the Spirit led the psalmist there to write. The oracle. The oracle speaks to the Word of God. Right? Hands lifted up, dependent upon the oracle, the Word of God. Turn on over to Psalm 63. Psalm 63 really fits in nicely with what we're looking at today. We'll reference it again in the next section. Psalm 63. We'll just begin again at verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live, I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I meditate, or when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. We see that in verse 4 again. I will lift up my hands in thy name. I just want to say something about lifting up the hands. It's not... Come on in and have a seat. It's not about our position of lifting up our hands. Right? It's not about our position, our physical position. It's about our heart. It's about our mind. It's about our attitude. We are before the Lord. When we're in a meeting, in an assembly gathering, not that I would say it's not inherently wrong to raise your hands unto the Lord, although it might draw attention more to yourself. But when you're alone, there's certainly nothing wrong with raising your hand in your quiet time, alone with the Lord, raising your hands unto God, seeking His face. We kind of see that pictured for us here in the Psalms. The psalmists tell us many times they lift their hands to the Lord. Let's look on over to, we'll skip 88, look at Psalm 134. For those that just arrived, we're talking about our quiet time alone with the Lord, and just looking at some principles of that from Psalm 143, and we're talking now about the in Psalm 43, it says, my hand stretched forth. And we're talking about the principle there of our utter dependence upon the Lord, coming to Him in our quiet time, utterly dependent upon Him. Psalm 134, verse 1, behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary, and bless the Lord. And then on over just a couple of pages to Psalm 141, the last one we'll look at here. Psalm 141, Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hand as the evening sacrifice. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, you know, I will therefore that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. It's not our position. It's not our physical position of lifting up our hands, but it's our heart position, the position of our mind and our attitude, and just utterly dependent upon the Lord as we sit with Him in our closet, meditating upon His person and His work. We see another picture of this in Exodus chapter 17. You don't need to turn here, it's just a couple of verses. Exodus chapter 17, see where Moses, the children of Israel, are in a battle with Amalek. And every time Moses on the mount raises his hand, the children of Israel prevail, and they win in the battle. But yet, when he gets tired and he lets his hands down, then Amalek prevails. I don't want to suggest anything too serious there, but I thought it was an interesting principle. When hands are raised in utter dependence, the heart and our minds in an attitude of utter dependence upon the Lord, then He prevails in our lives. We see there too that, you know, Moses became weary and his hands dropped, and then the enemy prevailed. And so what happened? Aaron and Hur came along, his friends, and they held up his hands for him. Sometimes we need that, don't we? We need our friends to come alongside us and encourage us, and as it were, help us to keep our hands up. Now, of course, in our quiet time, we're alone, but we need that in our lives. We need good and godly friends that are able to discern when perhaps we're in a downtime or a time of trouble, and they're able to come alongside. And then on the flip side of that, we need to be discerning people. We need to see when our friends are in trouble, and we need to be there for them, to help them, to prop them up, as it were. Now the next thing we see, this is, turn back to Psalm 143, if you're not there. Next thing we see is the thirst. Again, it's hands stretched forth in dependence, and then thirsting after the things of the Lord. This is Psalm 143 and verse 6. I stretch forth my hands unto thee, my soul thirsteth after thee, as a thirsty land. Let's look at that Psalm 63 again. This is a beautiful psalm, one of my favorites. We read that part already. We'll read it again. This is the attitude of our, when we come to the Lord in our quiet time, our attitude is to be that of dependence and of desiring, thirsty after the things of God. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Are you thirsting after the Lord? This is the attitude that we come to Him with. Thirsty, longing for Him. We read in 1 Peter 2, verse 1, talks about things that need to be laid aside. Some terrible things there that need to be laid aside that each of us have in our lives. But then it goes on, let's just turn there. You know, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. I think we see a principle here with that thirstiness. These evil things laid aside in verse 1 of malice and guile and hypocrisy and envy and gossiping or evil speaking. And then in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Isn't that a picture of how we should come to the Lord? Thirsty. You know, we can all picture in our minds, we've all seen a baby thirsting after its mother's milk. You know, many times the hands maybe not just stretched forth, but screaming and pulling and thirsty. That's the way we should come to God. Thirsty. Desiring to know more of Himself. To know more of His way for us. And there's an allusion here back to Psalm 34. We won't look at that, but it basically says the same thing. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Well, we have, as believers. Haven't we tasted that the Lord is good? Haven't we tasted that the Lord is gracious? We have. But yet, we long for more of that. You know, as we grow and we mature in our faith and in our knowledge of His Word, on, Hebrews 5 tells us, we move on to strong meat. We become adult believers, as it were. But yet we should never lay aside or lose that desire, that sincere desire for the sincere milk of the Word. We should always desire and be thirsty for the things of God. So that's verse 6 of Psalm 143. And now we move on to verse 8. We see the plea for loving kindness and the timing of that plea. Psalm 143, verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. We see first there that entreating the Lord to know more of His will, entreating the Lord to help us to hear. Cause me to hear. Cause me to know. And the timing of it, the timing of our quiet time, and we don't want to be dogmatic about this in any sense. We can have quiet time with the Lord any time that we can get alone with Him. But I think there's a real principle to gathering ourselves alone unto the Lord early in the morning. And we see that here. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. Early in the morning. Do you have a schedule? Your alarm goes off. You hit snooze. It goes off again. You hit snooze again. Does anybody do that? Or is it just me? We hit snooze, and next thing you know, we have to get up. We have to kind of rush ourselves, get in the shower, get ready for school, for work, or for whatever. And we don't get that quiet time. We need to take that quiet time. And I think there's a principle to doing that early in the morning. First thing in the morning. There's that principle of the first fruits. Giving to Him the first fruits of our day. That first fruits doesn't mean, okay, we give Him our morning quiet time and that's it. When there's a first, there's a second, right? There's an implication there. That's just the first part of it. We're going to have more to offer to Him throughout the day. Let's look at another one of my favorite Psalms, Psalm 5. Psalm 5, beginning at verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. Did you hear that? My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. In the morning. Look at Psalm 30. We just lay throughout Scripture, particularly the Psalms. I see it lays throughout Scripture. In the morning, that time to commit our quiet time unto Him. Psalm 30 and verse 1. I will extol Thee, O Lord, for Thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto Thee, and Thou hast healed me. O Lord, Thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness, for His anger endureth for a moment. In His favor is life. Weeping may endure for night, but joy cometh in the morning. I could go on. It's hard to stop here as you read through the Psalms. The many things, again, I would say the Psalms are a tremendous place to spend our quiet time with the Lord. If nothing else, we might not have words of our own, but the Psalms kind of teach us and train us in that, in the things that we would bring to the Lord, things we would say to the Lord in our quiet time. There we see that principle in the morning. Psalm 88. We see again there's a tremendous time of trouble the psalmist is writing about here. We won't take the time to look through the details of the psalm and where it came out of, but we see there in verse 13, but unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee or come before thee. In the morning, over maybe another page to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. Principle there for us. So we come in the morning, early. Our Lord did that. Turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark's Gospel chapter 1. The principle is here, as we come to Him for our quiet time early in the morning, blessing comes out of that. I want to stretch that. It's blessing for Him and for His service. And we see that pictured for us here in our Lord's walk. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. We won't go on deep. You can look at the rest there. What happens next? He gets up before the crack of dawn. He goes off to a solitary place to talk with His Father. And that's what we do. What follows there is blessing and usefulness for God. He goes on there to preach. After they come and get Him, and His disciples kind of rouse Him out of His quiet time, and you don't see that He's disturbed there. He's ready to go forth. The Lord has, His Father has charged Him up, and now He goes forth and He preaches. And then right after that, He goes about doing good works, healing, and all kinds of good works that you read about there in the Gospels. So there's that principle. He's up before the break of day. He goes off to a solitary place to spend time with His Father. John chapter 20, we have the resurrection. John chapter 20 and verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Mary's up before the break of day again, just like the Lord was in His early ministry. She's up before the break of day. It's still dark out. And she goes forth unto where the Lord's body was, or where she thought it was. And she has revelation. He's not there. And then a short while after that, she goes away, and I believe it's a short time after that. It doesn't specify that. Then the Lord comes to her and reveals Himself to her. She looked upon Him and she didn't know who He was, but then He revealed Himself to her. I think that goes right in there with our principle of cause me to hear of Thy loving kindness, a desire to know of the loving kindness of the Lord. We see there, just pointing out again in verse 1, that it was yet dark. It was yet dark. How many of us are willing to get up before the break of day? I think you have to now to get to school on time. But how many of us are willing to take that time? We need to be doing that as followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw His example there. As I said at the beginning of this section, our time alone with God is not limited to the first part of the day, to the morning. I said that's that principle of our first fruits, offering unto Him our first fruits of the day. There's no better way to start the day than quietly with the Lord. That first fruit speaks of more to come as we get time throughout the day. Sometimes it's difficult to get alone with the Lord, isn't it? But we need to take that time, whenever we can find it, to be alone with Him. So what's the purpose of quiet time? What's this purpose of the desire, even, for that call to know of the loving kindness of the Lord, to understand His will for us. That's what it is. It's to hear, to know something more of His loving kindness, of His person. We see that picture for us. We won't turn back there, but in Genesis, the very first mention, I love and believe in the first mention of words in Scripture. And the first mention of this particular word, loving kindness, is used in Genesis 19:19, and it's the story of Lot, and he comes forth out of Sodom. He's been saved out of horrible destruction. And he says this, "Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy." That word mercy there is the same word for loving kindness. "Thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou showed unto me in saving my life. I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die." That tells you something of loving kindness, doesn't it? The story of Lot and Sodom, how he was saved out of that. The Lord showed mercy unto him. It's a tremendous picture there for us of what it is. And then to know the way wherein we should walk. As David writes there, "Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee." His loving kindness is revealed to us in the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. But yet, we also come to him in our quiet time, desiring to know the way that he wants us to walk. 1 Peter, there in your notes, in chapter 2, verse 21 says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps." Right? What are his steps? It's his walk. And that's the way wherein we should walk. "Cause me to know that." Well, how do we know that? Well, we spend time with him. We come to him with that attitude in our quiet time. And we ask him. You know, the Lord told his disciples, "You have not because you ask not." We have to ask for it. And he will give it to us. He will show us of his loving kindness, and he will make the way known to us wherein we should walk. And we should walk in love. We should walk in love as Christ did, giving himself as our example. And now we see the appeal for instruction. Verse 10 of Psalm 143, "Teach me to do thy will." This naturally links with what we were looking at there at the end of verse 8. "Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk." Well, that ties to God's will, doesn't it? But here, it says, "Teach me to do thy will." So, is there a difference between knowing the will of God and being obedient to it? There certainly is. We all know certain things, basic things about the will of God, keeping it on a very practical level. We know that it's the will of God for us to live upright. And we also know that much of the time we fail in this, don't we? We fail in it. We're not obedient all the time. But do we have a desire? And I think that's our part of our quiet time. We come to him and we desire not just to know his will, but to be obedient to his will. What does that involve? I'd suggest it involves the chastening of the Lord. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. The chastening of the Lord. Do we desire to be chastened of the Lord? I'm going to suggest to you that naturally we don't, but we should. The word chasten literally means child training. That's literally what the word means. It's to child train. It's educational. There are three kind of principles. I was listening to a Bible reading from Lurgan, Ireland, and on this section of Scripture. And one of the brothers, talking about the judgment of God, talked about how God has judged us as sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ will judge us as servants. But now what's going on now is God the Father judging us as sons. And that's where the chastening of God comes in. Hebrews chapter 12, and let's begin at verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. And have ye forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receive. Verse 7, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Is that all? Do you have chastening in your life? If you don't, you're not sons. Chastening is a sign that we're the children of God. Does that change your perspective on how you look at troubles, at trials, at rebuking? It's a sign that we're the children of God. Chastening. Let's read on. Verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now verse 11 comes the guarantee. The guarantee of chastening of the Lord. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And we go on to verse 12, we see what we looked at earlier. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down in utter dependence upon him. The appeal for instruction. Do we desire and are we willing to endure the chastening of the Lord? It's a tremendous thing to think that our Father would choose such a thing to teach us. But that's what he's after. Chastening is training. It's child training. And he's teaching us so that we might yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Our quiet time tool chest. Practically, we've mentioned some practical things along the way. Our quiet time tool chest, what does it include? Well, first and foremost, we have the Word of God. And I would suggest, I've suggested to you that the Psalms are a great place, a great tool for us to use in our quiet time with God. The Psalms teach us. When we first start to do this, to take things beyond the level of just reading and just studying the Word of God, but to meditate upon His person, upon His work, to seek His face, to seek His loving kindness, to know more of it. The Psalms, they kind of teach us what to say, how we should pray, how do we talk to God. They're a tremendous tool for us. Of course, we don't limit it to the Psalms. We take in the entire Word of God, but some parts are more devotional to us than others. Some parts speak to us more of troubles and needs, and so we would open the Word of God, bowing before Him, this leads to our next part. It always begins with prayer and treating God as our Father, making known to Him our desire. Cause me to hear Thy loving kindness. Cause me to know more of Thy affections. Cause me to be more like Thy Son. Prayer. The next thing is that we must have a place where we can gather unto Him on our own. A quiet place where the rest of the family's not around. The dog, the cat, whatever it may be, is not around to bother us. Where we can just be entirely alone with the Lord. I know sometimes that's hard, especially those that have large families. It's hard. You may even have to share a bedroom. It's hard to find that place where you can get alone. But we need to do that. Of course, when the weather is nice, which much of the time here it is, we can even go outdoors and do that. I'm a little bit ashamed to say this, but sometimes I go in the bathroom and I shut the door. And we don't have children. My wife and I don't have children yet. But sometimes, usually I get up a lot earlier than her, so it's not a problem. But this morning, for instance, we have some company coming, so my wife decided to get up when I did and start working in the house. And I didn't have my quietness. And so I went to the bathroom. And there's a seat in there. So it's a quiet place where we can get alone with the Lord. Whatever it is. I'm not suggesting that you use the bathroom, but you can. Find a place where you can get alone. That's key. You need to be alone. You need to have that alone time where all distractions are put aside. We talked a little bit about time. How much time do we devote to the quiet time? I want to say again, this is in addition to, this is not study time. This is not where we're opening the Word up and systematically studying the Word. Although that could be part of it. This quiet time that I'm talking about is just a devotional time where we meet with the Lord, we talk to Him, we tell Him the things on our heart. We read His Word. That's part of that time. But it's a seeking of His face, a seeking to know more of His will, more of His loving kindness. As much time as possible. Now, practically, we know we have to get a certain amount of sleep. Some of you know Thomas Wheeler. He used to have a secular employment, and his desire grew to know more of the Lord, to know more of His loving kindness. So he began to, started with a half an hour. He got up a half an hour earlier. And he grew little by little up to the point where he was getting up 2 hours earlier than he used to every day to spend time with the Lord. How much time are we giving to the Lord? How much time are we willing to give? Well, I would say if you don't have that quiet time in the morning right now, I would really encourage you to start that. If it's only 5 minutes, and then just build upon it as the Lord leads. But give Him some quiet time. Give Him as much time as possible. We talked a lot about our attitude that we saw in this psalm pictured for us. We come to Him with the right attitude, hands stretched forth in utter dependence. You know, it's one thing I mentioned this earlier, to raise your hands in the gathering. I'm not going to say anything negative about that, but when you're alone, if you've never stretched forth your hands to God as you're praying, it does something. Experientially, I don't know how to describe it. I'm just going to tell you, I'm just going to leave it at that. It does something. When you, sometimes we just sit in a chair and we pray. Something different happens when you actually get on your knees, when you actually bow prostrate before the Lord. It's not just doing it. You're by yourself, so you're not just doing it so others will see. You're doing it in humility before the Lord. So I want to suggest that it's the attitude. It's not our physical position. I don't want that to come across wrong. Our physical position has no bearing on it. As you grow in the Lord, you'll see where He leads you in those things. But it's our attitude of utter dependence upon Him with a soul that is thirsty for the Lord, thirsty to know His will, to know more of His loving kindness, that desire to hear of His loving kindness, to know more of His love for us early in the morning, to know that way in which we should walk. And then the willingness to chase me. The willingness to be taught, to be obedient to God's will. Not just to know His will, but to be obedient to it. I would suggest another thing in our quiet time with the Lord, another valuable tool for us, are other writings, devotional type writing. C.H. McIntosh, most anything by C.H. McIntosh has a devotion. Even his teaching writings have a real devotional feel to them. Right now I'm working my way through his notes on the Pentateuch, and there are so many things that just touch you as you read through that. I would suggest anything by him. Something a little shorter and more direct are the next few things listed. Choice Gleanings calendar. If you don't have the calendar, you can go to the website, Uplook website. It's the first thing I believe that comes up is the Choice Gleaning for the day. Some devotional thoughts by others. Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. Some good devotional thoughts. C.H. Spurgeon has a morning and evening devotion, as well as some others that are a tremendous blessing. And then a hymnal. A good hymnal is a great blessing, a great tool for us in our quiet time. You know, it's very evident that the hymn writers, as with the psalmist, spent a lot of time alone with God, learning more of His will and His ways. And so psalms and hymns can be a tremendous blessing for us. And then a notebook and a pen. To be honest with you, I'm not very good at what is the term, journaling. Something I need encouragement on, so perhaps when you see me again, you can ask me if I've improved on it. I started it a little bit this year, and I didn't stick with it. But I try to at least, you know, the Lord will speak to you as you spend time alone with Him. He will speak to you. And it's good to be able to jot down the thoughts that come to you as you're dwelling upon Him. So a notebook and a pen. Our quiet time alone with God is essential for the believer. It's a must if we want to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. We need to be ever desirous to know more of His love kindness, to hear more of His love for us, of His affection for us, of His mercy, of His tender mercies. As it were, we feed upon Him in the morning. C.H. McIntosh, I've got this quote in your notes here, in the conclusion, wrote, "If I am habitually feeding upon Christ, I cannot help but exhibit Him." That's the ultimate desire that each one should have. He would exhibit the loveliness, the loving kindness, the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gave Himself for us. Isn't that our desire? And so we do that, or we seek to do that, by spending quiet time alone with the Lord, meditating upon His Word, upon His person, talking to Him about it. Just talking to Him about, you know, what we've seen in the Word. We might have a question that we want to ask Him. You know, sometimes, I mentioned this earlier too, it's hard to hear the voice of the Lord. Especially when you first start. Sometimes you feel a little silly. You feel a little silly talking to the Lord, asking Him things. But the more you do it, the more comfortable you get doing it. And the more you see Him revealing Himself to you. So as you rise up early in the morning, before the break of day, you draw apart into your quiet place. Two simple things you can ask Him. You know, cause me to hear Thy loving kindness. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. And thirdly, teach me to be obedient to Your will. If we're faithful in doing this, He will reveal Himself to us. If we're faithful, we have to be faithful in it. It's hard to stay after it, you know, as the summer comes along. Maybe you get into a routine during the school season, you get on a time schedule, and then summer comes along, you go on vacation with the family, it's harder to keep that time. Be faithful in it. Once you get started, if you haven't started already, if you're faithful day after day, it becomes easier, and it becomes to the point where you need it. You have to have that quiet time. No matter what it takes, you have to take that quiet time alone with the Lord. You will be blessed. He will use us. Sam prayed about us being fit vessels. We saw the Lord when He took His quiet time alone with His Father. He went away to that solitary place to pray. Then He went forth, preaching and doing good works. He'll do that in your lives if you remain faithful to Him, taking that quiet time alone with the Lord. After all, it is not about us at all. It's all about Him. Let's pray. Father, we do thank Thee once again for this time we've had to think about You, to think about Your Word, to think about Thy loving kindness. Father, we do desire to know more of Thy loving kindness, to know more of Thee, to know the way wherein we should walk. Father, we would even desire Thy chastening, for it shows us that we are Thy children. We pray that You would teach us to do Thy will, and we give You all the glory. We seek this not for anything of our own, but that we might exhibit the person of our Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Father, we do thank Thee once again, committing the rest of this day unto Thee in the name above all names, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.